Blog Talk Radio.
Feels better. That feels a lot better. Welcome, people, to It's Wednesday. Regardless of where you are, it's Wednesday, and you're with She's Raising the Bar on Blog Talk Radio. Coming at you for 10 years, West Coast, East Coast, and parts of Europe. Thank you for joining us, and we have a great show today. Not only are we closing out Pride Month, but this is actually what I usually do every year. This is the last show of the summer. Don't get nervous. We're going to be back in September. But usually what I do is at the end of June, we close off and we go into summer reruns. So we have many, many, many episodes to replay. So you'll never get bored. And I try to make it thematic and enjoyable. So you certainly will be tuning in, as you usually did. And you know what? If you only take the summer off like I am, then okay, we'll see you in the fall. So today, I've had the pleasure for the past 3 weeks to have the author of Joy Lansing, A Body to Die For, the wonderfully talented Alexis Hunter. She's been sitting across from me for the past 3 weeks, and I want to thank you, love, for being brave, for rolling with my punches.
Oh, I love it.
And for joining me. So thank you. It's going to be a great show.
Are you there, sweetheart? I can't wait.
I threw you for a loop, right? You're so enamored with the show that you really couldn't speak.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here and going crazy. Yeah. No, your show's fabulous. I've been looking forward to this all week.
Oh, my darling, thank you so much. And, you know, before, we've been having such a good time. You and I have been dissecting different pieces of cinema that we thought would be perfect for Pride Month. And it's been just, people have been writing in and just saying, you know, this has been wonderful. We like the give and take with you two. And today we're going to have what I think is the best way of presenting a closure is to platform the contrast in different films. Today we're going to be doing Desert Hearts, which we both like. But, and again, this was your choice, it was a brilliant choice, two of us, which I thought was magnificent. And I think that these are the two opposite spectrums. This is just a perfect way to close out Pride Month. So I think that's, I'm looking forward to doing that. But honey, I have to engage you in something. I have some stuff that we have to do before all of that happens.
Okay.
You have been bearing witness to my fresh mouth. And my fresh mouth getting me in trouble, and you know what I'm saying, and you're part to blame because I think you should know me well enough to reel me in, but I'm going to set the stage.
It's my fault.
It really is. So you know what? If that's why you were silent, I'm fine with that. But last week, I got myself in trouble, and I had
just
to make
little.
It public a little bit. Well, it gets worse from here, so here we go. I had to make a public apology. And present a disclaimer because I had mentioned to my husband in not such a wonderful way that as a producer of his show, Jazz Just After Dark, people actually not only could enjoy the show as far as listening to it, they can watch us. So we had a few women writing in saying, we don't like the way John always adjusts your mic. Okay, and that's just, it's all fine, and that's just constructive stuff until my fresh mouth uses it against the poor guy, and you know what I'm saying. So I throw that out to him, and I say, by the way, blah, blah, and it hurt his feelings. And he's a Cancerian, and they get very, very wounded. So heart is doomed. Okay. Apologize to him on the air last week. Okay, but before that, what do? I just can't leave well enough alone. Just talking about, and you know, because I have the transcript in front of me, and you're, believe me, you're part of this. I'm talking about how many people have written in and said, you know, we know you from another show. What is it? So here I am. I'm saying you probably remember the voice, my voice from the Bridal Body Shop. I had a show for 10 years, and I went on to say my co-host, the lovely Lee Ziegelman, who was with me for 9 years of that. Now, see, Alex, you should have stopped me there because that was fine.
I should have, but I didn't.
You should have. No, you didn't. Okay. So that was fine. So here we go. So then I say, and I'm reading this, would you believe, Alex, she left me for photography? Okay, your quote, watch. I'm reading this on the transcript, honey. This is not a lie. Watch? Yes.
Watch.
She left me for photography, blah, blah. And okay, so we go on. And I'm just talking about the show and everything, and she's a wonderful photographer. We wish her well. That didn't stop. 4 minutes and 27 seconds into the broadcast, I have to bring it up again.
I have to turn to you again.
You should have. But you know what? You're going in this cold, sweetheart. You're going this cold. So it's fine. And I said to you, do you believe a lens over me? And you said, what? You got to be kidding. That wasn't enough. So then I say to you, baby, would you have left me for a lens? Never. Oh, my God. I can't believe she did that. Never. Okay. So we're laughing. Ha, ha, ha. Meanwhile, I forget that people listen to the show. So the lovely Lee Ziegelman is at home running to the phone to try to call into the studio. Now, you know, she's a tall glass of water. So I'm picturing her stepping over cats, running over the couch. And I didn't pick up because we have a lot of people on the switchboard, and I wasn't sure if it was a crank caller. But I was half right. It's a cranky caller. So she's on the line with us now. And step with this, the loving nature of this program, we give everybody their day in court. So I'm going to bring her on.
The lovely, cranky caller.
Oh, my God. There's the voice. There's that scary voice.
You know you missed this voice.
Good
Elite, afternoon, ladies.
Meet Alex. Alex, Elite.
Hi.
And
Alex, it's a pleasure to finally meet you. Heard
lovely
so much about you.
Lovely to meet you.
So sweetie.
You guys.
Here's your day in court, baby. Go ahead. Hit me with what you got.
Nah, I was just going to call and straighten you out, but. It's too late already. It's over the fact. No, we had a great 9 years. Listen, still there, always there, you know, in spirit. But you're doing wonderful. Isn't she doing wonderful, Alex?
Absolutely. Dynamite show. Dynamite.
Definitely. There's no need for anybody but you.
But wait, you know something? Now I can't give you credit. See, because now, sweetheart, you're being nice. Because I have you, I was going to give not only a website, but you're the president of Flat Leavers Anonymous, and you were also on the chair on the board of Hasta La Vista Society. So see, now I can't use that.
No. You see why I left?
Come on.
This is what I had to go through.
Loved every minute of it. You loved it.
No, I did. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. But like I said, you are doing an awesome job all by yourself.
Nobody needs to see you. I don't know what to do. Now, Alex, jump in, baby. What am I supposed to do now?
She's stumped.
She's stumped.
Yeah, she's doing a great stump. Yeah.
I'm for clamped and stumped. I didn't expect that.
Not for Clem.
Listen, I just wanted to call and say hello. I wanted to, you know, like I said, I'm over the fact it's been a week, but you guys are doing an excellent job. I can't wait to listen to the rest of it.
But wait a second. let's go back next week. I want you to conjure up the anger that you had, the blood in your eyes, the fire
angry.
In your belly.
I was just going to call and defend myself. That's all it was.
Okay, and sweetheart, what were you going to say? What were you going to say against me?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm waiting. For a lens. I know. I left you for politics.
Oh, politics, baby. That's sexy and confusing. Politics.
Yeah. Well, it's politics within our own realm.
But anyway, let's not talk about
bad stuff. No negative stuff. Only positive stuff. Too hot for negative.
And you know something? I want you to tell us what you're up to, because I'm not mentioning what I know you're up to in case you don't want to mention it.
Well, I'm working coincide with my daughter on my new book called Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And hopefully it'll be released whether in fall or winter. You know, it all depends on how fast she works, because I work very
mm-hmm.
fast, but she's
mm-hmm.
busy working with her job. So she works at 2 or 3 in the morning on my stuff. So I can't push
mm-hmm.
her every day. But, yeah, so that's something to look forward to. And that's basically it, really. You know, I'm just enjoying life as it comes.
But don't you miss being on the show with her?
Thank you, baby.
I
was waiting for that, Alex. I was saying, jump in. Oh, come on. Give me a break.
I'm here. I don't want to butt in.
I always miss our good times, our banter, a lot of laughs we had,
Oh, yeah, she's so much fun.
Yeah.
Thank you, Alex.
Always is.
Thank you.
Always
well, she's going to be on with me in the fall when we usually do our fall into fitness with Tammy Lee Webb. So you'll be on with that.
Looking
That'll
forward
probably
to
be
that.
The show in,
yes.
sweetheart. So you'll be on with me.
That should be a lot of fun. I can't wait.
It should be good. Before you leave, website, Instagram.
My website is Elite Photography NY .com. And my Instagram is Elite Photography New York NY. So check it out, enjoy, and thank you, ladies, for letting me have this opportunity.
Oh, it's lovely to hear your voice and have you.
I'm being too nice for Lori. She's not used to it.
I don't know. I'm looking around, not knowing what to do because I'm pumped. I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I was going to say this is like Dean Martin coming on the Jerry Lewis telethon, and the audience is waiting. And then here it comes, and okay, all right. So I'm going to put all my barbs away and just say, I love you as ever, and I'll talk to you tomorrow, and you'll be on with me in a couple of months.
You got it. Enjoy, girls. Have a great day, and keep cool.
How lovely. Lovely meeting you.
You too, darling. Goodbye,
Elise.
Bye-bye,
guys.
Bye-bye.
Oh, there she goes. There she goes. Let's give her a round of applause. There
Absolutely.
We go. Oh, I can't give her a round of applause. Wait a second. I was not prepared for such niceness. Because that's really not our relationship. That's not our relationship, trust me. Now I can't get the applause button to go, okay, that's it. All right.
Aww.
You absolutely no help, Alex. You were out and wait, jump in.
Absolutely zero. Well, I expected a little banter. I didn't want to butt in.
I know it's early for you, but I know you could have done better.
So am I fired or what?
Well, it's the last show anyway.
So just suck up.
Oh, man. And she comes, and let me tell you something. That is so not her voice. Believe me. I've heard
oh,
the
really?
Voice. So sweet. And so I just wanted to say hello. And I love the show.
Guess what? She'll be calling back.
I'm not picking up because I know there's a pod underneath her bed. That's not my Elite. That is not my Elite. No, believe me. I know that.
Oh,
I know
God.
That. Well, you know what? Well, you know, she calls again. Well, she's not coming through anyway, so she could hold that fire until September.
She'll be ready to pounce.
She'll be ready to pounce, as a typical Leo. Here's what we're talking about today. Desert Hearts.
Yes.
Okay, 1985. And I'm going to go first by saying I liked this movie. Mm-hmm. I'm taking into consideration the things that I like about this movie. Again, it was 1985, so it bears a different look, camera lens, than anything that I
right.
expect to see in 2021 by way of, you know, things that are a little bit more, it was less permissive then. So I didn't expect what would have happened if the same story were told today. The things that
right.
I liked about this was, I love Patsy Cline. I loved Eddie Arnold. The soundtrack was just amazing. You had Patti Page. You had all this wonderful, wonderful, I think it was Loretta Lynn. I was trying to write down all the names of the artists
mm-hmm.
as they were going by, and I loved it.
Oh, now, yeah, absolutely.
The thing that I thought was, again, now this is 1985, so I don't want anybody getting mad if any producers of this film are listening. It was, the thing about this film is it was built around, you know, the ultimate, I don't want to say the love scene, but everything pointed to that. I don't think it was a story that was told any differently in any other equation. I thought it was wonderful. I thought the two leads were brilliant. I loved Audra Lynn, Leah, who I think it was her, I think it
Helen
actually
Schaefer.
Was the last role, I think. Yeah. No, Helen Schaefer was the lead. That was, she was Vivian. Audra Lynn
right.
was I guess the stepmother.
The mother. Yeah, the stepmother,
right.
yeah.
Right.
And then Patricia Charbonneau was the
yeah.
other lead.
Right. And they were both wonderful. I mean, the on-screen chemistry was wonderful. But there were times where the dialogue seemed like there were a lot of overdubs. A lot of it seemed like it didn't make sense to what was going on in the scene. But again, this was 1985. And
right.
the love scene, the one thing I have to say, I enjoyed the love scene because it was appropriate. It wasn't, if you had that same love scene now, it would have been different angles and pyrotechnics and everything that it might not have been. It would have been a little bit more disingenuous. This was awful.
Yes.
It took a while to get there. So that's the one thing I have to say about the movie. It that was perfectly appropriate. That was,
yeah,
I think,
agree with you.
Right. But everything, again, there were so many times, there was a couple of things that I caught. Remember in the scene where they're driving at night and they're driving
mm-hmm.
to that point where they park the car before the storm.
Right.
They
right.
get out of the car and it's daylight. So I was like looking, saying, wait, it was just night. Everybody had their brights on. And then now it looked like it was like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So there were a couple of things here and there.
Yeah, a couple of screw-ups, yeah.
Yeah. But as a whole, I thought it was one. I thought they were wonderful. And like I said, the supporting cast was great. And
mm-hmm.
what I liked about it is, being it was 1985, you're looking at it and you're seeing everybody who ended up in Seinfeld, anybody who ended up in sitcoms in the 80s, what was in that movie. So that was kind of cool, seeing everybody, just like, you know, they did film and then they went on to sitcoms. And I thought it was great on that level. And the fact that it was also, for that time, it was open-ended, but I thought of it on a positive note.
So did I. It was one of the first films where they didn't kill somebody off, which was really
mm-hmm.
nice. And it left you thinking that, you know, they would get together. They would live, you know, happily ever after. It was not such a downer like they're usually, you know, same-sex
mm-hmm.
Relationship films. You know, as we talked about last week, you know, a lot of times those relationships were, you know, they had, I don't know if it were the censors or they
mm-hmm.
were afraid that they had to make it end negatively. So
yeah.
it was really a treat to see, hopefully, that, you know, that things would work out. I was really pleased with that part.
Yeah, no. And, you know, again, they have to have that the male intrusion, which has to happen in these, even in 1985. And you have,
sure.
this, I guess it was a stepbrother who obviously had a crush on Helen Schaefer. So you have
sure.
to get him getting upset. And, you know, the line was, you know, everything was fine until you came on the scene, you know, to his sister.
Right.
His half-sister.
Right.
So you had to have, that was the predictable male intrusion in these films.
Mm-hmm.
Thing about it was it didn't take up too much of the framing, and it was, it just went away, and there was resolution. He was friends with Helen Schaefer because they went to the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And he also,
right.
you know, was cool with his sister. So
yeah.
So that
yeah.
was nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it was actually really, really sweet. It didn't bother me. The only thing that I found a little bit uncomfortable is the nervousness. Helen Schaefer's nervous. Well, you know, this was all 1985, and this was something new and scary for her. So I totally get it. I totally get it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, what bothered me was, okay, you're talking about it's Nevada, which, I mean, Nevada certainly now is a little bit more progressive, but it was Nevada, I guess, in, I would imagine by the cars and everything, it was like 1950-something, later 50s.
Sure.
And, again, you get somebody from New York who was coming from a totally different culture. She was a professor, and her coming into, you know, leaving her marriage and just trying to get some time to decompress,
sure.
you know, like kind of purging that marriage and not really knowing where she wasn't even sure she was going in this direction.
Right.
But the only
yeah.
thing that I got, yeah, I got annoyed at was, you know, Kay should have had a little bit more patience with her, but then again, 25, the other
yeah,
one
was
what,
much
40
younger.
Or 30.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
yeah. So, go ahead.
Yeah, it was tough. I mean, I understand both positions. I mean, youth, she was so enamored with Helen
yeah.
Schaefer. And it's, you know, her position was had to be very, very difficult, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted more out of life. That's what, you know, she didn't know what she was looking for, but she wanted out of that marriage. And,
yeah.
That has to be brutal, really brutal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially those days. You didn't leave a marriage.
Sure.
You know, like 1955, unless he was abusive, which he wasn't. You know, there was no reason for her, and you heard when the lawyer was asking her, there was no reason
right.
except she wanted out. That's it.
Right.
And it was her
she
choice.
She wanted more.
And,
yeah.
Right. She didn't know what more was. She didn't know exactly. She knew
right.
something was missing. She didn't know exactly. She couldn't really pin, you know, put a pin to it and say, well, I need this, I need that. She just wanted out and time
sure.
to find it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Sure. And, I mean, it must have been really, really frightening for her because at that point in the 50s, my God, any, like, lesbian relationship had
mm-hmm.
to be absolutely so frightening to her. I mean, just
mm-hmm.
the mores of the day were really, really pretty well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like I said, it was 1985, and that was, I think, that year. I'm trying to think of anything else. I mean, can you think of anything else that came out in the 80s? I mean, Personal Best was like
mm-hmm.
1980. But then again,
Something like that yeah.
ended up with Scott Glenn, you know, swooping
oh, sure.
in and Mary. This was, I think, the first one, and that's why I say I do give it credit, even though I'm finding little spots that I didn't like.
Yeah.
This was probably groundbreaking, unless there's something else that I can't think of that came out that year.
I'm not aware of anything. And this was one of, like, the highlights, you know, for gay culture at that time. I mean, first of all, they didn't kill somebody off, and it had a different feeling to it. It was light and breezy and fun. I mean, there were some tough spots too, but in general, it was upbeat. It wasn't, you know, dreary.
No, no. And I think that Audra Lindley did, you know, and I think, you know, and I think she did The Ropers before that. And then after that, I think she died maybe not too many years after this.
Oh,
I
really?
Think she was absolutely wonderful in that. You know, again, she was fine with her stepdaughter doing what she wanted, but the minute this woman came into the picture, it was a direct threat because this woman obviously meant more.
Yeah, this wasn't just time. This was serious, and that scared the hell out of her. It was frightening, just frightening.
And I think the nicest part was, and you'll probably agree, when they're out at their friend's wedding and Audra Lindley goes in the car and she says, "So this is it?" And, you know, Kay says to her, you've been in my life longer than anybody has. It's never this. Mm-hmm. So I think that was just exactly what she needed to hear.
Yeah, it was perfect. It was just perfect.
Yeah.
I love that scene. It was very touching.
Yeah, that was a great scene because it's like that's really, you know, again, we don't react the way we're supposed to react. We usually lash out, and it comes out in a different way than what we want to say. So her lashing mm-hmm. out and her, you know, pushing her aside and her relation, not giving any respect to her relationship or her love for this woman, was just born of, I don't want you to leave me. I love you.
Right.
What's going to happen?
Yeah.
But we don't say what we mean. We lash out and it comes out in a very different direction.
Sure. But luckily with that one scene, it sort of made things okay, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. You know that they're not going to walk away from each other. Again, the open end with Helen Schaefer going back to New York and ride with me to the next stop and, you know, it's
mm-hmm.
40 minutes extra with you. And it could have gone in any direction, you know. But the point was, you know, if I fit in with your people, you try to fit in with my people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which kind of brings us back to Carol when, you know, she was, you know, she obviously comes from a different culture and class.
Oh, totally.
And bringing somebody else, into their world. It's like, you know what, try to fit. If I'm meeting you here, meet me there.
Right. Right. I mean, the contrast was so distinct in both films. I mean, both professional women and then not so professional women involved in
right.
it. And much younger, both films had much younger women as
mm-hmm.
a love interest.
Yeah.
And that's a tough one, too. That's very tough. But it was hopeful in both. And that just made me feel so happy, you know, because over the years, all I'd seen are these dismal films where, you know, it added to some people's self-loathing, you know, oh,
mm-hmm.
you got to die. You know, you have to die. That's
mm-hmm.
the only decent thing you can do
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
you're screwing somebody else's life up and you're not worthy. And it was just awful. But with those films,
mm-hmm.
I felt good. I felt really, really good. Hopeful.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's you know, again, you think about everybody, and I'm just about any oppressed culture. You want to see
mm-hmm.
your reflection, and you want to see your reflection anointed with acceptance. That's all people
yes.
want, you know? It's
yeah.
any oppressed class. You just want to look at and say, you know what,
yeah,
I fit. It's okay.
Yeah, I'm not some sort of freak. And that's how people were portrayed over the years, as a freak or unworthy or disgusting or just something terrible. So I am so grateful. Things have changed. I told you, I've been binge-watching all these films.
I know,
Oh, my God, I'm loving it. Absolutely loving it because, I mean, especially, oh, God, I think I told you I watched Frida. My God, that tango scene.
That, yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, Lordy.
And that was... You know what? And this is what you and I were going back and forth with this because I think I was watching at the time. You said, "Yeah, you want to watch it too." It was they had Diego Rivera and Frida just had the perfect egalitarian marriage. She was stepping out. I was I was surprised that she had an affair with Trotsky. That is, I mean, I knew she was with other women, but I was like, what?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah, what was that?
Yeah, that
was no
so
idea.
Different. I didn't either. My God, I knew that she was bisexual, but I didn't.
I had no idea.
Fascinating.
Of that.
Yeah, yeah.
I had no
idea. It almost seemed like an actual love affair between her and Trotsky.
I know, and I felt bad for the wife who caught it at the dinner table when they were all having
so
dinner.
Awful.
And you saw, yeah, and that was just like, oh, and I was hoping that wasn't going to go there, but then when it went there, I said, okay, well, you know. But the thing is, for as macho as Rivera was, he,
mm-hmm.
you know, he knew what she did, and whatever she did was fine because, you know, he was doing it too. And I always said,
so they had a perfect marriage, actually,
right.
in that respect. You know, they both did their own thing. They both had different needs. You know, he admitted to her that he could not be faithful to anyone.
Mm-hmm. But he loved
and
it.
So
he loved the hell out of her.
Yeah, that was his nature, and she obviously had her own little bent there, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she,
mm-hmm.
So I thought it was a fascinating film. I loved it.
It really was great on a lot of levels, and I'm a huge fan of hers anyway. But itself, and Ashley Judd was one, the tango scene, right? It was Judd and
that was really great.
And
what a great scene.
It was wonderful. It was just absolutely,
brilliant.
You know, if obviously, I mean, the steps were just so perfect, you know, so
yeah,
obviously,
brilliant.
I thought it was wonderful. And that set the mood for the whole film, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the direction, I think it was Julie Tambor did the direction on that film.
Yes.
Brilliant
yes.
woman. Brilliant.
Yes.
Brilliant director. Yeah, that scene was just amazing to me. So
yeah, that was
I wore it out.
Of, yeah,
I wore it out.
I wasn't texting you. I wouldn't have gotten you.
You wouldn't have gotten me. I was doing what? Rewind and repeat. Rewind and repeat. I am one sick puppy.
And I'd be texting you. Okay, so for the show, we're going to be doing nothing. Wouldn't have gotten an answer.
Of course
God
not.
Help me.
Oh, I'm impossible, darling. You know that.
Well, thank God for the last show. That's it.
Oh, but I'm having so much fun. I hate this. We are having
a good time.
You know, I'm loving this. Absolutely
this
loving
is a lot
being
of fun.
On the show with you.
This is
great. You are so much fun, and you are so good. I mean,
I've done quite
a few shows, and yours is phenomenal.
Oh,
you are
oh,
so
thank you,
brilliant.
Sweetie.
You truly are.
Oh, ooh, honey, I don't know what to do with all of this.
Oh, you can do it. You can do it.
I can do it, yeah. I'll be okay. I'll really.
You'll be fine. You'll be okay. You handled the conversation with your friend earlier pretty well. So.
I'm still reeling though. There's going to be a couple of quarts of wine later because I still have to get into my center with that because I'm not feeling. I'm expecting a letter bomb.
There's no resolve. There's no resolve to that.
But what I wanted to, the next movie that we're going to talk about is the one I want to spend more time on because it's going to segue into what I want to talk about with the special edition release of your book, Joy Lansing, A Body mm-hmm. Die For. And I think that this film runs a perfect parallel to your story.
It does. And that it really touched me. That film really, I sort of relived my relationship with Joy through that film. It was so tender, and the love that they had for each other was it was heartbreakingly beautiful. I mean, that sounds weird, but it was.
No.
And it showed, that film showed exactly what can happen. Thank God for marriage equality. And being able to have rights. You know, if you want to lead into the storyline,
I was going to, you know, actually set the stage. I think that why I want to present one against the other is, you know, Desert Heart was wonderful in a way that it's celebrating, you know, the fanfare of sexual identity,
right,
and
sure,
exploring the love and, you know, the bells and whistles and Ferris wheels of it.
Sure, sure.
This film, The Two of Us, shows mm-hmm. you the heavy lifting, shows you the afterword of falling in love and
right.
committing to somebody.
The hearts and, yeah,
and
the hearts and flowers, yeah.
The tough stuff, and especially mm-hmm. when you're 100%, you know, involved in this person's life, and you're the first person that matters in this other person's life, and yet you could, when the other people came, when the bloodline comes in, you're on the periphery.
You don't matter.
And there's no decision,
you're
and
nobody.
You don't matter. Oh, I know. And it's just a horrible place to be.
And
this show
happens. Yeah.
It happens all the time. And, you know, not just, mm-hmm. let's also say, it's just in any relationship where you're in the bushes. You're just, you can't walk in the light of day with, it could be somebody who's married. It could be anybody
right.
that you're not allowed to have a public relationship with.
No.
In this case,
no.
it was same sex. But it's the same. It's, you just, all of a sudden, you're just relegated to being
dirt.
A guest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're nothing.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
And I got it because I had that situation myself. You know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that extreme, but I was discounted. You know, I didn't,
yeah.
nothing that I said mattered because I had no power. I was not
yeah.
married to her, even
mm-hmm.
though to us we were married, but to the
yeah.
world we were nothing, really.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. And that film really touched me. The emotion, the great
mm-hmm.
love, and what's interesting is most same-sex films, lesbian films, are younger
mm-hmm.
women. You know, the young,
mm-hmm.
pretty women.
Yeah,
yeah
mm-hmm.
but these women were older. They were much older,
yeah.
and they had been together a good portion of their lives,
yeah.
hidden.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
it was unsaid. I mean, they had to sneak around and
mm-hmm.
pretend they had the two apartments side by side.
Mm-hmm.
And
side by side, yeah.
They lived, yeah, they lived in one, and the other one was a pretend, just,
mm-hmm.
you know, a facade so that the one woman's children wouldn't be aware, you know, because
right.
she didn't want to rock the boat. She,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that was the reason for their one argument because, she, you know, they wanted
yeah.
to sell
Italy.
And move
mm-hmm.
away.
Yeah,
yeah, move away.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't want to tell her children. She was so afraid. And that caused
yeah.
that one rift. But the stress really affected her. My God, it was so
she
awful.
She had a stroke. Yeah. Yeah.
She
and
had
you
a
know
stroke.
What? It was, and you, this was your choice. So I give you credit. And I have to say, it's so funny. As Americans, we're like, so we don't like subtitles. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't mind it much, but it was almost, it was irrelevant. It just, the visuals were enough. You didn't
right.
even need any coaxing to know where the scenes were going. It
no.
was just absolutely.
It was brilliant.
It was all there. It was. The direction
was. It
was
so great. I mean, and those actresses are so great. I mean,
yes.
you could see in their eyes the love.
Mm-hmm.
What, you could tell what she was feeling, the
yeah.
anguish, sneaking, trying to go see her, you know.
I know.
I mean, when your guests, your audience doesn't know this film unless they've seen it, but she has a stroke.
Oh.
And
mm-hmm.
then the daughter comes in and separates
mm-hmm.
them. That's
yeah.
the trauma.
Yeah.
That's the trauma.
Yeah.
And the other one is left out in the cold to anguish,
mm-hmm.
to suffer,
yeah.
wanting to be with her love. And,
mm-hmm.
I mean, this brought it back. I mean, when Joy was in the hospital and I was
able to stay with her because she said she wouldn't stay in the hospital unless I was there. So I was able mm-hmm. to live with her. I had a little cot next yeah. to her bed. And, mm-hmm. you know, and then after a while, they got nervous with me being there. I don't know if they were, some of them were probably aware of our situation, but most of mm-hmm. the nuns were not. And and one of them threatened to have me removed because mm-hmm. she didn't think it was healthy for me to be there. And I mm-hmm. told her, you're going to have to kill me. You will have to shoot me, kill me. I'm not leaving. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to leave. I wouldn't leave. Mm-hmm. There was no way in hell I would ever leave Joy. But that, but luckily the powers that be didn't separate us. They knew that mm-hmm. It would have been worse if they had gotten rid of me. But in the film, they didn't know, and they didn't really care. They didn't care.
And you know, it's what I like the best about it is, you know, for all the reasons that you were saying, you know, it's, these films are with young, attractive women, and this goes into the vows that you take, whether it's in a church, whether it's a same sex, whether it's, you know, any, you know, traditional marriage.
Sure.
The vows that you take in sickness and in health, you're taking those usually when you're of strong mind and bone, where sickness is, when you're 25, it's only a stomach flu or, you know, they might get into a car accident. This is the stuff that we sign on for. This is the road work. This is what we, you know, we have to care for each other. This is where things could go wrong, and it's dead serious. And here is a woman who was totally committed to this woman. And and I don't know if you caught the symbolism, and this is what I was wanted to wait to discuss this with you on the air.
Tell me.
She's living across the hall from her. And I don't know if every time you saw the scene where she was looking through the peephole, it got smaller and smaller. And the symbolism being, first, the scope of her world reducing.
Oh, my God.
Did you see that? I thought that was brilliant. That was brilliant direction.
Sometimes I see it, and then I don't, you know, I see it, I take it in, but I don't clock it like
that
you did.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
Brilliant.
I have to see it again.
You have to, because her world, every time, I think it was like five frames, and every time, the peephole is smaller because her world, the world that she once
became
knew it,
smaller and
was
smaller,
suddenly,
destroyed.
And I said,
her
oh
world
my God, is that brilliant.
Crashing in. And, oh my God, and one of the scenes that I really liked is when they were escaping from the hospital, and the daughter saw them, and I think the daughter finally figured it out that her mother was going to frigging die of unhappiness unless she was back with her love, and she picked up on it, and she didn't try and stop them, and that made me very happy.
That was beautiful.
She didn't.
Yeah,
wasn't it? And I also loved the last scene while they were dancing.
I love that.
And that brought it back to me about Joy, because Joy and I would dance all the time in the kitchen.
We would
do that. You know, it's just, I mean, it brought, this. The film brought a lot of my own personal things back to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the frustration about, you know, not being able to do a damn thing for the person you love. That poor woman, I totally identified with her. I mean, it just broke my heart. You know, I felt the frustration and the anguish, you know, just wanting to be with her, wanting to hold her. And then when she snuck in the middle of the night to just sleep next to hold her.
I know.
And having the daughter come in and go ballistic on her.
That was surprising.
But
you know what? I always like to say that in Europe they're a little bit more progressive and accepting. So I was like, this chick's French. What is she getting so upset about? I mean, but I guess that when it's your mother, you're like, okay, her marriage with my father a lie all these years? And when she was looking through the photo albums and she realized
that
this lady was in at least, they never really disclosed how many years they were together, but it had to be at least 20 and then some.
A long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, it was in her mind, her whole, the image of her mother and her mother's relationship with her father was on shaky ground. That just really, it was just like her world was crumbling. I understood her position.
Of course.
I wasn't thrilled with it, but, you know, the film made me feel very compassionate toward everyone. Everyone has a different take on everything. And a lot of times the way you're raised or your relationship with someone, if you believe one thing and then suddenly, everything is kicked out from under your feet and you're hanging up in the air. It's a terrible, terrible situation. But I loved the film. I loved it because it was reality. Then just about any relationship, you know, if it's long-term, somebody's going to get sick. Somebody's going to have a problem. Somebody may have a stroke. Somebody may have this or that. And if you really, truly love that person, you're going to stick with them, you know. And people need to be think ahead when they get into relationships. They have to know that they better love that person a lot.
Exactly.
You know,
and
yeah.
That's what I was saying. It's the ever-stretching fibers of love. That's what that movie was about,
right.
You know.
Right.
The gender was
real love.
Almost in a, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, it was real love. It wasn't, you know, infatuation or something, you know, well, I'll stick with this until things go south. You know, they really loved each other. I mean, there was no doubt in my mind on either part, you know, how she rallied, you know, she wanted to get better. She wanted to be with her love.
Yeah. You know what I think was
so beautiful.
The strongest scene for me, I don't know about you, was when she realized, when she went and she saw there was, she had, she had been cooking something as she had a stroke, and she smelled the from across the hall, and then she realized, oh, my God, she's not here. So something must have happened. She never would have kept it. And she ran downstairs, and she sees them taking it, and she realized she's completely paralyzed. She can't do anything. She's just watching them take her away, and she has
absolutely
no recourse. She can't do anything. She has to swap.
Exactly. And I mean, it tears your heart out.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, I mean, in that position, you can't do a damn thing. Like with Joy, I couldn't do a damn thing. I had zero power. I was just, I was in the side. I was, you know, just there. Not to that extent. That was much worse. I mean, my God. I was very young, and
you were young. I was going to say that.
It was like 24 when she died, and it was just like the power, being powerless, being impotent.
Yeah,
you know,
that's horrible.
It was just like you just. You can't do a damn thing. You can just only hope for the best, you know. But that film really got to me. It was it was so powerful. And like you said about the subtitles, it didn't bother me at all. I didn't even notice the subtitles.
Exactly.
Because you looked in their
eyes,
their body language, their eyes, they just, you know, you could see the acting was brilliant. You could see the love. The love was so powerful in that. Just
and I
amazing
have to, the woman who played, you know, the stroke victim, I don't have her name offhand, I thought was wonderful because after a certain point, you know, obviously she was reading the script and it's like, okay, after this, you say nothing else, which
there was no dialogue.
That's it. You just have to either be frozen stare or slowly, what I saw, like, she slowly evaporated, and she, all of a sudden the frozen stare would melt, and then she would look at her lover, and she would be her again, and you could see it starting in her eyes and starting to read down to her mouth.
Yeah.
Wasn't that amazing?
I think,
yeah, the acting was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I wish everyone would see this film. I mean, anyone who has a heart would just melt.
Oh, yeah. It was, and you know, again, this is a complete aside that no one is going to say it makes a big difference to the movie, but as somebody who pays very, very close attention to music, I don't know if you heard the song that was playing in the background. It was French, but it was a hit here in the 60s. Little Peggy March, I Will Follow Him. That got it, right? You heard that.
I did.
And I'm trying to listen to see if they changed the gender, and I couldn't catch it in time. But every time it came on, it was I Will Follow Him in French. So I'm going to watch it again and see if they actually flip the gender in any way and use the proper pronoun. I don't know. But I just found that interesting. It's like, what is that? And I'm doing, and I got what it was. It was I Will Follow
and
Him.
And she would. She did. She followed her. Her whole existence stopped. That was her only focus, being back with her, being with her, helping her. She wasn't going to give up, man. And she got pretty feisty at times too. You know, anyone who got in her way.
The car. Breaking the car.
She was, pardon me, pissed. She wasn't going to put up with it. She was not some wimp. Her hands were tied, but she did everything in her power to get back with her love. What a protagonist! What a great, great film. I'll watch it again.
And you know what? I think the next time you watch, you get other things from it. You know, but I like to absorb things immediately, like when she escapes and she finds her way to the park bench where they always sat, and that was you realize she's trying to come back, she's trying to connect with her. She didn't really know what she was doing, but she knew she had to get back place that
she
felt safe.
She knew. And both characters were wonderful, absolutely wonderful. I am just so impressed with the acting. Everything.
Everybody. Yeah, everybody. Mm-hmm. The daughter, too, was wonderful because you hated her.
Yeah, she was excellent.
She did her job, yeah. Yeah. But, you know, let me ask you something, because I know I was sweating out the last 5 minutes because I was so sure that they either jumped out the window together because they were just showing the daughter behind the door. And I was thinking about, do you remember the song in the 60s, the singing nun, Dominique. Do you remember the song?
Right. Yeah, okay. I remember.
I was wondering if they were going to pattern that because she was French. Now, don't forget, this lady, you know, had a number one hit. She made money. She left the church. She had, you know, her lover, and obviously still depressed, and I guess money wasn't coming in. She and her lover jumped out a window hand in hand. And I was saying,
oh my God,
I got to go back. You didn't know that? Yeah.
No, I didn't know that.
I'm full of useless facts. I really am.
I love it. No, I love it. No, that's not useless. That's really important. I had no idea.
She died. I think they killed themselves. Dominique, 1967, I think the hit was. And I remember I loved it. And I think they killed themselves in either 1969, 1970. Yeah.
Why?
So dreading. They don't say, you know what, they didn't say what happened. Did she actually leave the church in disgrace because she had a lover? They didn't really go into too much then. Don't forget this was 60s, but she and her lover went to the top of the building they were living in and held hands and jumped.
Yeah, I had a feeling. I had no idea. I had no idea about that, but I had that feeling. I had that lump in my throat and, thinking that they were gonna do, kill themselves.
I was so nervous.
So freaked out. Yeah, so nervous about it. So I'm so happy it ended the way it did. There was hope. You know, I like hope. You know, something hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and the last scene was beautiful, just really beautiful.
Yeah.
But I did anticipate that. I did thought they were going to do a Thelma and Louise, you know, and just go over the edge. It's just.
And I kept thinking of you. I kept saying, okay, she would have warned me because, you know, I'm a mush. You know, I don't. She would have warned me the last scene you're going to have to. And you didn't. So I was thinking it probably didn't end badly. And that was the only thing I was hanging on to. Well,
yeah, I would have warned
told
you.
Me.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're a mush. You're a mush.
I am a big mush. Oh, my God.
And that's
it's horrible.
A beautiful thing. No, that's beautiful. What are you talking about? No, that's lovely. Yeah, I would have given you a heads up on that. I wouldn't want you to be, blindsided with that.
John Alfred's birthday, as it was, I had to go wash my face and put the makeup on again because I was crying the whole time. So, but, you know, worth it because, you know, they were dancing, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, if they're dancing, you know, she's definitely coming back from a stroke. They didn't tell you how severe it was. But if she's dancing, most likely she's going to be verbal within a couple of months with good rehab.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I mean, the ending was lovely, I thought.
Yeah.
Just really lovely.
Yeah.
I felt that they'd be back together and, you know, the old happily ever after, even though there were challenges. At least they were together again. I mean, my God. I mean, that poor woman was just tortured trying to be with her.
But you know what? What I think the best thing that could probably come out of this was now they're out. Now the stroke could have been a gift in a strange package. Now the family knows who this woman is to her. And now they could actually walk in daylight and not have to worry about, well, I'm going with a friend, I'm doing this. Now they could walk as a couple, at least
in front
of their
family. Yeah, they could sell the condo, they could sell the co-op and then move on. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's probably the best thing that could come out of somebody having a stroke. And they were still young enough to enjoy the rest of their life together.
Sure they were. But what a great film. And you know, comparing the two films, one was light and breezy. I mean, they had a few, you know, speed bumps that they had to deal with.
Sure.
You know, adjusting to a new thing in her life, you know, Helen Schaefer. But the second film was reality. It was, you know, it was the way life is. It was so touching. It's just so touching. I hope everybody will watch it.
And there are so many scenes that I couldn't even, I mean, every scene was something of importance, but there were so many scenes that I just, like when she gets out of the apartment and she runs across the hall and she starts banging on her door. She knew she belonged with her. And she just, and you know, this woman was hoping that was the case, but really not sure. She was just trying to escape, but she knew that this woman knew, this is where I want to be, you know. Mm-hmm. And that was just, I think, the tip of the iceberg. Then from there, you could see she was starting to, you know, I want to be with her. And then obviously when she was taken away from the love of her life, she started, you know, just crumbling. And there was this mental erosion as well as emotional. She just was not responsive. And and that's what the daughter noticed. And they're just medicating her, and as opposed to bringing back what she needed, you know, was interaction with somebody that she loved.
Right. And they actually put her in hospice.
I know.
That was just awful. Just awful. They didn't try and, you know, like you said, they didn't try and bring her back. They, you know, brought herself back. The love that she felt, you know, it was so powerful. Just, I loved it very, very much, obviously.
Yeah. You know, what was annoying me is, again, I always have a problem with our healthcare system over medicating the masses. I always have a problem with that.
Oh, they do.
But I'm thinking, yeah, but I thought Europe was a little different, and just like they keep giving her more stuff because she's getting agitated. And I'm thinking, wow, I guess it's really not that much different elsewhere. They choose this over that instead
right.
of exploring the whys and maybe music therapy, dance therapy, art therapy, anything else. They're over-medicating her to keep her quiet because she's becoming agitated.
Yeah, she's a pain. You know, and that's what they do in a lot of the nursing homes here.
Yeah.
They'll over-medicate because if someone's a problem, they don't have enough staff to babysit,
mm-hmm.
basically, someone who is irritable or causing problems, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll just sedate them so they don't have to deal with them, and it's really a shame. It's really a shame.
Yeah. Oh, it's horrible. It's absolutely horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. But some countries, I think I saw something in the Netherlands. They had, like, they built a little village for patients with Alzheimer's, and the person had their own individual little cottage. And they were not controlled. They were not stuck in a wheelchair with a drool cup. You know, they lived their lives. They went for walks, and people would come and visit them. And it's just like they had a normal life. They were not treated like pariahs.
Discarded. Yeah,
they weren't discarded. No, I mean, I wish every country would do that for those afflicted with that, you know, with dementia. It was so fabulous to see what they were doing.
Yeah, but you know what? Again, their jail system is very different, and I always hate, you know, bringing up Sweden, but it is the truth. Their jail system is different. Their healthcare system gives you coverage from cradle to grave. You are taken care of. That's it. And you know what?
That is great.
Maybe you're paying extra taxes, but you know, I got to be honest with you. I wouldn't mind paying extra taxes for that. I really wouldn't.
No.
I'm covered the rest of my life. Come on.
Oh, sure. Because now in this country, if you're old, you're in trouble. If you don't have money, you're in trouble. I mean, yes, they have like Medicaid for pretty much individual people, but you're relegated to not the nicest places, and get treated like crap. So, I mean, I thought I had a few health issues, and I ended up in a nursing home for almost 6 months. I was pretty much able to take care of myself. I didn't depend on anybody, but I saw what was happening, and I saw the slop that they gave people, you know, to eat. You wouldn't give it to your dog. They're understaffed, and the people who work there work too hard, and they resent the people. So if someone gives them a little grief, they're not going to be so nice. And that is tragic. I mean, the whole system needs to change. It's appalling.
Yeah. Did you ever see the movie, not to get off track, oh, my God, Which Country Is It Anyway? It's a Michael Moore movie, but they go into the jail system in, again, the S word, Sweden, and these people are given
your
shower. I mean, apartment. You have to see it. I think that's what I'm. Whose country are we invading? It, something like that. I'll look it up and I'll write it down. But it just.
Oh, please.
And you see the beautiful way they're living, and their philosophy is the worst thing that you could do to a human being is keep them away from people they love. Why do you have to treat them like animals? That's bad enough. And it's like, yeah, you know, you treat people like animals. You know what? They come out like animals. So it becomes everybody's problem. Yeah. It's, you know, when you say, well, why should we, the criminals, why should we treat them better? Well, number one, they're human beings. That's number one. But number two, even if you're not looking at that from that point of view, when they come out, they will be
your problem. It's going to be worse.
Yeah,
so
they will.
Think
it's
about it.
It's going to be much worse.
Think about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's going to be. They're going to have be more hostile. No, you are correct. And I'm not that familiar with the jail system or the healthcare system in Sweden. I need to do some research on that. That is fascinating. I mean, they're so progressive.
Yeah. And somehow gun violence doesn't happen. I mean, again, I'm not saying that is the structure or the model we need to follow, but somehow drug trafficking doesn't happen much there. Prostitution is legalized. Guns don't seem to be a problem. Crime is not at a height like it is here. Again, volume is different. But come on, be doing something right. So why don't we figure out what we can
Absolutely.
Do right here? That's it. Not
yeah.
everything, obviously, but some.
Yeah, I mean, the gun violence here is just reprehensible. It doesn't have to happen. If they would just enact some control. I mean, who needs an AK-50,
yeah.
whatever the hell
yeah.
it is. Who needs that? Yeah, but
let me tell you something. We could walk into certain places in the South without an issue and just get what we need. Get any assault weapon
sure.
we want.
Sure.
And you know what? And I understand people, I want my right to bear arms. Okay,
sure.
If you feel that your police force is not enough to protect you, that's a problem. You're paying taxes. If they're not going to protect you, okay, then go about it the right way. If I say I want
sure.
a gun, okay, you know what? Just like driving a car. You're not just going to give me
yeah.
My keys. You're going to give me a test. You're going to, and I'm going to wait for it. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
That's it.
I agree
give
with you.
Me,
Absolutely.
Give me a psych eval and then decide if you think I need it. That's it.
Right.
But anyway, we're getting way. I want to talk about your book. We're getting way.
Oh, okay.
This is what we do,
All
honey.
Right.
This
oh,
is,
yeah.
you see, this
but
is,
I love
this
the
is,
conversation, so I'm just tripping along, enjoying this.
But see, I don't want it to be 2:15, and I say to you, baby, we've got to talk about your book. I don't want to say that at 2:15 when we're wrapping up. But I want to talk about the June 24th special edition release in hard copy, paperback. Is it audio as well, honey? What do you think?
Yes.
Is it?
No, not the audio.
Okay.
Not the audio, but the e-book.
Oh, really?
The e-book, yeah.
Okay, so it's Kindle and Amazon. Okay. And that is just, we're going to put, I know you're going to put the Amazon link, but it's already, the amount of people, it's already on back order. Am I right?
My God, it's just so exciting, Lori. So exciting. People are really going for it. I'm thrilled that they are. The new edition has so many new photos and photos that are really, really important. I think I told you that I think I actually sent you the photos, the pictures of Joy and Me Together that no one has seen. Nobody's seen these photos. And these photos were lost for 50 years. Joy's niece contacted me through Facebook. And, I had lost contact with Joy's brother, who was an absolute sweetheart. Larry was a sweetheart. And his son's wife, Carrie, reached out to me, and she said, that Larry had passed away, I think, in 2019. And she and her husband, Paul, had a lot of his personal effects and Joy's memorabilia. And in that memorabilia were some photos of Joy and me together, intimate photos. I mean, it shows that we were together, there would be no doubt, don't you think, with those photos?
No, there's no question. If anybody had a question, that's it. It's pretty flat in that, yeah.
Yeah, so those photos and other photos of Joy that nobody's ever seen, they'll be in the book. And then part of it is me answering questions. People have asked me, after the book came out in 2015, they've asked me, what happened to you? What happened in your life? What happened to Stan? What happened to, and I addressed those questions and I answered them. So that's sort of finishes it off, you know.
Yeah,
because, you know, I did, unfortunately, when I finished the book, it was so hard. It was so hard to actually write it.
I just
ended it. But now there's more finality to it, and
mm-hmm.
but yeah, it puts a bow on it. So I hope everybody will want to read it and see the new photos and see the pictures of Joy. They're just mm-hmm. wonderful.
They are.
Wonderful.
And the clarity is amazing to me, the ones that you showed me. I mean,
yeah.
for 50 years old, they're so clear. It's amazing to me.
Yeah, a lot of them were transparencies that I had scanned and cleaned up.
Mm-hmm.
So they and I am totally amazed that they survived. I am shocked.
Yeah.
I knew those photos were taken. You know, they were taken by Joy's stepfather. We had gone to visit her mother and stepfather, and he took a couple of photos of us. And I knew that they existed, but I thought that they were, you know, gone forever. I never thought I would find them, and it was just shocking and thrilling at the same time to have them. And so I want anyone who loved the book or loved Joy, I want them to see these pictures of her. They're just great. And there's some like candid photos of her, the way she was with me. I mean,
mm-hmm.
She was glamorous. She was all that. But when we were together, she was relaxed. She usually had her hair pulled back like, almost like in a ponytail. And a lot of times no makeup or very little makeup. But that was the real Joy. You know, she was glamorous and sexy and all that. But the real Joy was soft and gentle and unassuming and just wonderful. She was so wonderful.
Yeah. And I think that I don't want to misspeak for you, but I think that with the additional content, you know, that you add to the book, I think it gives you a little bit more closure, right?
Yeah, it does. It does. Absolutely.
Okay.
It helped me. It really helped me. So I'm very happy that it was done, and that my publisher, Ben Olmert with Bear Manor Media, is a great guy, and he wants it out there. So this is wonderful. The whole thing is wonderful.
Yeah.
And I hope everyone will want to read it. You know, people who haven't read the book, I would love that.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about miniseries. You know, there's a lot of interest, so tell us, go into as much detail as you can.
I will, as much as I can say at this point. I have a wonderful producer that I'm working with who loves the book, and he's putting it together with a great screenwriter, a tremendously great screenwriter, and we're trying to get it together for a miniseries. For like Netflix or Hulu or for whomever, when I wrote the book, I wanted it to be a film. I wrote it with that in mind, because I want everyone to know about Joy. I want, the most important thing to Joy was to be a star. That was her life.
Yeah.
That was who she was, and I want everybody to know about her. I want them to love her because she deserved it. And through the book, they get to know her, and hopefully through the miniseries or film, they'll get to know her better. She deserves to be remembered, everybody
absolutely.
Does. But
of course.
That's my goal. That's my goal.
Now, I'm trying to think. What would you think would translate better, a film or a miniseries? What are you thinking? I'm thinking miniseries because it just has a little bit more length and people have the attention span of snow peas. It keeps you looking every, you know what I'm saying? I think that would be certainly more powerful of a choice.
I agree. I think of miniseries because we had so many adventures. And the thing is, with a film, you have to eliminate so many of those things because there's so much screen time.
and you have to develop the characters, you have to do all that. And a lot of the things that we did that were just amazing and sometimes a little scary, you know, people will be able to see. And I think it will give the book and Joy's life and our life together much more exposure. I think it would be great. I'm hoping for that. That's on my wish list.
I'm picturing like a set of Carol, you know, kind of Hollywood set, you know, in the 50s. I'm kind of seeing that backdrop. Old Hollywood.
That would be cool. Yeah, old Hollywood. Because we got together in 1969, you know, the year of Stonewall. I mean, things were happening, but we stayed totally on the down low. We were, you know, we were not out in any respect. But so much happened during that time. And we, in the Palm Springs, I mean, we lived in Palm Springs.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of Palm Springs is still the same. So they could shoot in Palm Springs. You know, mid-century modern is the thing. It is the thing here.
Interesting.
Oh, my God, yes. Oh, yeah. People are back with the green and orange shag car.
Are you kidding me? Really?
No, I think going back to mid-century modern, you know, anything from that era, if you guys have anything in New York like that, send it to Palm Springs. You'll sell it and make some serious money. You know, there's weird tables.
I could empty out my house now. I'm sure I'll send it your way.
I'm serious. I am serious. That stuff sells, and for big bucks. Everybody, I'll send you pictures. Everybody wants mid-century modern. I lived it and I hated it, but here everybody loves it. Absolutely loves it. Oh my
That's
God.
Crazy.
Yeah. Oh my God. The goofy lamps and the trippy coffee tables, and you know, it's a whole different world. But that is what they're striving for here, and it's big. You know, if you make your, you know, if you redo your home, and in mid-century modern, you know, because the architecture is that era, if you, man, it will sell like you would not believe.
Wow,
people are going absolutely crazy over it.
Wow. I wonder how long. Look, I think everything, fashion, everything is cyclical. So I guess, you know, eventually, you know, something else will come around. And, yeah, it's fascinating to me. Because, again, I'm on the East Coast, and I know what you know, what's going on here. But it's so fascinating to find out that, wow, that's, You know what? But I love, you know, you remember the set of Mad Men. I love all that red leather. We went. I took John to a restaurant the other night for his birthday, and it was a place that was probably built in the 1940s, and it had that, the red leather houses.
How cool!
And that sexy as all get out, baby. And
I love that
wood.
I love that. I just
should have
love
taken
that.
Taken pictures to show you. And it just.
Well, next time you go, take pictures.
Yeah, yeah. I'll make him take me for lunch one day. But yeah.
That would be wonderful.
I love that red leather. And I remember every one of my aunts in their kitchen, they would have like a breakfast nook, but it would be red leather. And this is like all in the
60s. How cool is that?
I love it. No, I just love it. I would have it in my house now, to be honest with you.
Me too. Well, maybe in your new place. Maybe in your new place.
So. The only problem with that, baby, is cats. Cats love to pop their claws on leather. So cats are wonderful. You have a litter box. You don't have to walk them, but they do love, and they're not doing anything wrong. They love to pop their claws, and they tear at furniture. So I don't own leather for that reason. So
Shredded
it's a nice
red
name,
leather.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, lovely shredded red. Not good. But maybe, could you cover
baby.
It? Could you cover it with something so that they could scratch something else and then take it off for company?
You could. Then you know what? Then I go back to my aunt who had the clear vinyl the plastic over the furniture.
Oh, God. My mother. That was my mother. Oh, my God. Oh, wait. Okay. My mother on the arms of the sofa, right? Yeah. Out of plastic. And on the lampshades, always had the freaking plastic.
Yep.
Always had the plastic.
I don't get that. It was never comfortable. I understand it's preserving this. And my mother-in-law had it for many years. And I say, what are you waiting for? Take it off. What are you saving all this for? Somebody's supposed to come over and sit. What's the problem?
Yeah, and my mother with the good towels are always in the cabinet, never out.
Mm-hmm.
Just the ratty towels. But she had some beautiful towels and beautiful linens. No, they were for good, only for good, and good never happened. There was never good. I could not believe the stupid plastic on the chairs, on the arms of the chairs, and the sofa, and the lampshades. It was just like, well, you have to protect them. You have to protect them. You know.
From what?
Oh my God! It was just hideous. But
it didn't make sense. And then the garbage.
No, but that's the way it was.
To get back then, not everybody had AC back in the 60s.
No,
you have a ceiling fan. And then you sit there with shorts, and you just stick to the. No company was comfortable. No company was comfortable.
That was terrible.
Come on,
nobody came back.
It was like throwing salt after people. Nobody came back. Nobody came back.
Maybe that was the goal.
That was the goal. That was it. People.
That was the goal.
Sit on the plastic. Before we wrap up the show, because we're having way too much fun. I want to get back to you and your jewelry.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the book, you can find the book on Amazon. It's Joy Lansing, A Body to Die For, A Love Story, and through Bear Manor Media, my publisher, and Barnes & Noble, and any bookstore. They can order it for you. I hope people will read the book. It's an e-book and audiobook and just regular paper, hard and soft copies. My jewelry, I'm getting a website. It'll be up hopefully soon. And I'm loving the new stuff that I'm thinking of. I'm working with great big Baroque pearls and really cool stuff now. I'm thrilled with it. I'm actually really happy with it, the direction it's going. I'm taking more chances. You know, going outside the box with it. So
nice.
Thank you for mentioning it. Thank you.
Of course, baby doll. Anything for you. What about Instagram? Instagram shout out.
I'm on Instagram. It's I think it's under Ms.
Why do
Alex
I always
Hunter.
Have to lead this tangle? Why do I always have to lead this tangle with you?
That's your job. Because you lead and I follow. Hello.
Oh man. Give a shout out, baby.
Oh God, I don't want to be pushy. Okay. It's on Instagram. It's Ms. Alex Hunter. And not to confuse everybody, but it probably will. I'm on Facebook. Long story, had to change it by Alexis Hunter to Rachel Lansing, who I was in the book. I was Joy's sister, Rachel. Mm-hmm. But it also says that, Rachel Lansing, a.k.a. Alexis Hunter. So, if you want to reach out to me on Facebook, send me a direct message letting me know who you are, that you're a listener from Lori's show, and I would love to be your friend. So just, and I post photos of my jewelry all the time, and on Instagram there are pictures of my jewelry and pictures of Joy and things that are really cool. I think you'll like it. And just follow me. Yeah, Ms. Alex Hunter.
I like that. And before you
leave,
I want to give a shout out to, and you watch, I produce Jazz Just After Dark.
I love it.
Every other Friday. And this Friday, did I tell you what the jingle is going to be?
No.
I'm going to send you the jingle. I'm going to send you. I want to give a shout out to the lady who does the jingle, Lynn Porters, who is just an amazing, amazing talent. And every week, every time I give her the cocktail we're doing, within 2 hours, she comes up with, and she sent it to me. She goes, okay, this is what I'm going to do here, and I might do a march here. This week is going to be, because it's 4th of July week, I don't want to be too patriotic, but we're doing Tito's Red, White, and Boozy. And the theme is just really incredible. But I want to give a shout-out to her business, which is amusi.com. It's E-M-U-S-I.com. And she comes up with the text equivalent of a singing telegram. So in other words, you want to send somebody something nice, a hello, good luck on your job, I hate you, you ruined my life. Try not to do that in a text. Be mature. Do not break up with people via text, please.
No, send them a jingle.
Even then, you know what, be, you know, face-to-face, you know, go to the old way of going to a crowded restaurant. Okay, that's almost a coward's way out, but it's better than a text and then never speaking to them again.
That is awful.
You know what, it's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. But you could reach out. She's got something for every occasion. An ailing parent, she's got something. So amusi.com, Lynn Porters, who does our jingles every other week, and we're going to actually have her in the station with us in August.
Cool.
And we're going to do the woman behind
the
woman behind the music or Jingle All the Way. I don't know which one I like better, but I'm going to figure it out. I thought of it this morning. I was like, Jingle All the Way might work. So we'll see, but it's definitely going to be
I
August.
Love it.
And my lovely lady, I can't thank you enough for spending the last 3 weeks with me. Being Siskel to my Ebert, or I'm Siskel to your Ebert. Who knows? It doesn't really matter. This is radio.
No, it doesn't matter. This is wonderful. I've had so much fun. I've delighted in it. I've looked forward to it every week. You are an angel. The best. You are the best on radio and podcast. And I'm going to start jonesing. after this is over. This is not good.
No,
this
baby,
is not good.
No, listen, sweetheart, you'll be on again. We're just going to
come
good.
On
you. Oh,
my God.
Yeah,
oh, my God, relief.
Fan yourself, baby. It's okay. It ain't over. It ain't over yet. So don't worry about
God.
It.
Thank God. I couldn't take it. Couldn't take it, baby.
In saying that, I'm going to wish my lovely special co-host best of luck with the book, and we'll post everything, all the information tomorrow on our page. And everybody else, go out and celebrate the rest of Pride Month. Celebrate with friends. Just go out and just enjoy what the beauty in life still has to offer you. I'm going to leave everybody with my favorite saying by Mother Teresa: if we don't know peace, it's because we've forgotten we belong to each other. And let's keep that in mind. Alex, I love you, sweetheart. Best of luck.
I love you too. Thank you.
And I'll talk
Thank
to
you,
you
Lori.
Soon. And everybody,
All right.
stay cool and see you in September.
One, two.